I'm Bob Lemming, and I'm the interim superintendent of schools for District 186, and I've been here since April 1st of 2013, and will probably, I think it's contracted to be the interim superintendent till the end of the year.
And since stepping into this role earlier this year, what have been some of your biggest challenges so far?
Some of the problem solving we had to take care of at the end of the year regarding some of the cuts and the impact of the cuts and some of the issues surrounding the CCPA program and all of those issues certainly took up a lot of the spring and almost all of our energy and our thoughts. And so that was a big deal. And then beyond that, you know, I think what I told the board, they wanted to know what I could do in 3 months. And I said, well, hopefully to manage the day-to-day operation of the district, which people don't really realize is very busy within itself, and to try to help restore the fiscal house. I can't do it in 3 months and can't do it alone, but to try to provide leadership and set the tone for fiscal responsibility for everybody in the district and be able to for everyone to be diligent about spending, and so that we can get our fiscal house in order little by little, step by step. And I think we've made some progress.
Is it hard at all to be a leader who's only temporarily in that role when it comes to making these tough decisions you're talking about?
You know, I think in many cases it probably would be, but I've been around District 186 for a long time, and I know just about everybody. And so it hasn't been difficult. In fact, I've had a lot of support, and I'm very grateful for that.
Has the bad publicity you kind of were talking about, especially with the previous school board, their relationship with Walter Milton, for instance, open meeting acts violations, has that made it harder for people working within the district to do their job, administrators, teachers, et cetera?
I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for myself. And I think that board had its own challenges. I don't know that it would have made, I guess different people would have had different spins on things, but they did what they thought was correct. There was an election and a new board is seated. And was there a hangover from the old board? Maybe a little morale issues with staff in general that people said that, you know, was in place. I heard a little bit of the morale issue. I think we have turned the corner. I think it's improving. I think people are seeing this as a new day, and we're getting ready to start school for 15,000 kids. And that's exciting, and that's what we do. That's our life.
So let's talk a little bit about that search for a new superintendent and how it's being handled. Do you see it being done responsibly and in a way that's setting up the district to find someone who can take charge for the next 5 to 10 years, and if so, how?
The answer is yes. I think they are doing it responsibly. I think by hiring an outside firm removes the perception that there was some agenda by some small group of people to pick or select or identify someone that wasn't a community selection. So that these folks are going to screen, and based upon the profiles that our community builds, the profile that is built by our focus groups and by our community members and parents and teachers and so on and so forth, that there will be a nice solid pool of applicants that they will screen down to 6 or 7 people, and the school board will interview them independently from any outside groups and get it down to 2 or 3, and then the community will get reengaged again. And from that will emerge what should be the best candidate, based upon the feeling and the emotion of a lot of people that this is the one that's going to take us 5 to 10 years down the road and meet the needs of the kids and the families in this district.
And so timeline-wise, it's possible that you'll be in this role as interim superintendent throughout the 2013-2014 school year?
I'll complete my 100 days right at the end of the first semester. After the second board meeting in December, I'm a retired, certified employee with the teacher's retirement system, and we are allowed to work 100 days per fiscal year. But I think the board will probably sometime in November start thinking about where we're at in the superintendent search if it's possible, someone could emerge and start sooner than July 1 of 2014. And if not, then who is going to be the person that finishes out the school year for the district?
Let's talk about the budget. Obviously, you guys are going to be approving the coming budget at the next meeting. Tell us a little bit about how it compares to last year and if the district's going to be operating on a deficit.
At the last board meeting, Director of Business Services announced that the budget that's on the table shows an $800,000 deficit. That's less than $1 million, obviously. And last year, the deficit was $11 million. Now, the reason it's improved is that we've got $3.5 million in TIF money coming to the district that makes a big difference. So that cuts down the deficit from about $4.3 million to that $800,000 if you do simple math. You know, so we got lucky there. That doesn't solve any problems for 14-15 because that revenue will go away. But in the short term, we're going to be okay. You know, if we manage ourselves throughout the course of the year, I'm very hopeful that we are in a good position at the end of the 13-14 school years to be very, very close to a balanced budget where the expenditures do not exceed the revenue of the school district. We don't know what the property tax income is going to be yet. We're not. We have a pretty good idea on our state aid, but there's still some unknowns. And to be absolutely sure what it's going to look like is next to impossible. So I'm still very hopeful, and maybe I'm the eternal optimist. But I think that by the end of the year, that $800,000 deficit could be removed as possible. And when I say that, some of the people think I'm crazy, but. And then the other thing we've got to do this year is to deal with collective bargaining. So on top of that $800,000 will be added to whatever we end up negotiating with all of our employee groups. So that $800,000 deficit is probably going to grow. So that has to be dealt with. The silver lining is the large four-year commitment to Apple goes away, which we were able to put computers in throughout the district to the tune of $1.9 million, which to me blows me away. That's a lot of money, but that's going to be gone. So there's the savings. That expenditure goes away. I don't know what the district's going to do about cuts going forward to next year, but we're going to have to come up with $2 to $3 million in cuts, and we'll deal with that, start dealing with that in the fall. They're going to look at the high school schedule, the seven-period day. They're going to look at a lot of other stuff as well. And so between the savings on the expenditure side and some cuts on the expenditure side and hopefully an improved state aid formula going forward, hopefully the economy is going to continue to improve and the revenue streams improve. I mean, that's the prayer. Then hopefully by 15, the end of 14-15, going to 15-16, we'll have a balanced budget.
Let's backtrack a little bit, talking about the $11 million that had to be cut from the previous budget. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about how that's affected operations.
I wasn't here then, so I don't know the detail, but what I think I can tell you is that there was a fund balance that has deteriorated over the last two or three years. I know the board has struggled with that. They had a cap that had to be basically not ignored, but they just couldn't achieve their cap goals of keeping a fund balance. The fund balance had to be used. It was rainy day money, and it was raining. And so the fund balance that we did have, that we did maintain, was used up. So the district is not in the hole yet. We don't plan on going in the hole, but we have used up our fund balance.
Do you think there's any chance at looking at a referendum anytime soon?
There's talk here and there. Timing may not be good. There are people in the community that constantly encourage us to revisit that. The financial difficulties that we are having, that we should be more aggressive with that. I just don't think there's any consensus for that. And there has to be a lot of work done. First thing is to show some financial stability, that we are managing our money correctly, and that people can be comfortable knowing that this thing's under control, so that then see that there's still a shortage, that they're voting with confidence that the need is real and not just out of control spending.
Well, and is your opinion that potentially this could be a good source of alternative revenue or a viable option?
Well, that would certainly be a viable option, but I just don't think it's coming soon. You know, I don't think it's something we can go out there next spring and say, we need more money in the ed fund, so give us a few more pennies on the dollar and we'll live happily ever after. I don't think the community is ready for that yet.
And also looking ahead at the budget, Obviously, we saw the closure of the Capital College Preparatory Academy and multiple school consolidations. Do you see more school consolidations being on the horizon?
Well, what I'd really like to see is us build about two or three in the very near future nice size elementary schools that we could start combining some of these rather smaller schools into larger elementary schools for a lot of cost savings, and not only cost savings, but some major improvements in facilities for young families and people that send their kids to school. District 186 is an old district. We've got old buildings. We're opening two new ones this year. Matheny-Withrow is replacing the old Matheny-Withrow, and Enos is being upgraded. Those were done on life safety dollars. They weren't done on money from a referendum, and it was done within the law and what we're able to do and replace classrooms and all of that stuff. But it's remarkable how people feel going into these new buildings. And Lindsay's an example, but the excitement out at Enos and Matheny right now as they prepare for opening day is just incredible. And we need more of that. And some of these older buildings need to close their doors. So your question is, are we going to be closing some schools? I hope it's not just a cut. What I hope it's for is yes, because we're going to close two small old elementary schools and open up one nice new bright and shining would be my, if I was going to be your new superintendent for the next 5 to 10 years, that would be my vision.
And what schools would be good candidates then for that?
I don't know. I think that's not worth speculating on at this point. But what I would like to see, though, and I'm real comfortable saying this, is that we need to get back out on the northeast end of town on one of those properties, Wanless or Pleasant Hill. And if it were me, and I'll just be candid with you, it would be over on the Wanless property and build a nice big school out there to serve the northeast end corner of Springfield for all the Pleasant Hill and Wanless kids. And we could figure out another use for Fichens, but that would be just a wonderful thing, and that'd be part of my vision too. I think the northeast corner of town deserves a nice elementary school like Lindsay is on the west end, and I think people would be real proud, and I think kids would respond and perform, and I think it'd be a great thing.
At the last board meeting, you were visited by Hanson talking about plans for high-speed rail, and some board members expressed concern over not being involved with more of the planning process in the first place. I think you, or at least it was either you or Chuck Flamini, who had asked to set up a meeting to go over maps regarding land fear and how that property might be affected by high-speed rail. Talk a little bit about that in general, what some concerns might be, and if you're hoping to be a bigger part of the planning process going forward.
Well, I don't know how much. I think we'll get to hear a lot. I don't think we'll get a lot to say. I don't think we'll have a lot to say about what's going forward. We were very, very concerned about Lincoln Magnet and Lanphier High School, and in terms of how they're impacted with all of that development. And really, when you look at the rails as they surround Lanphier High School, our concern was how close are they going to be to the school? How safe is it? Can they actually go in the classrooms and 40 or 50 trains a day that go up and down these tracks is not going to be a distraction to teaching and learning? I think it is. And that's our concern. Now, Scott McFarland said very clearly and I think correctly that we want to be at the table. We want to say move it down a block or move it over 50 feet because, you know, you can't take our parking and our, you know, it's when you look at the sample projected, I don't know what they call those maps. It's not a map, but it's they have a technical name for it. It looks like Lanphier's surrounded by railroad tracks. And, you know, we're not comfortable with that.
One other issue that has come up with a new board was the requirements for administrators, the residency requirements.
Yeah.
Where does that stand right now? That's something didn't come up at the last meeting.
We're having a policy committee. I'm not sure of the date, but pretty soon. And they're going to put the final touches on the policy. They're going to identify exactly which positions are impacted so that there's no are you in or are you out. And they're going to be specific about how much time any person that's not in compliance has, and so that going forward, when we put that information out to the administrative staff and how we're going to validate where they live and how they're going to deal with dual residency, I think that's what's left, and those are big pieces. So they've got several talking points to deal with, and then it'll go out to the to the administrative staff. And if a person doesn't live within the boundaries and the policy says you have so much time, then those folks know they'll have that amount of time and have to make some decisions to either move or return to the classroom.
Were you able to find out how many administrators would have been in violation of that policy last school year?
I don't think there's an agreement on that. According to the addresses that we had 4. And other people have said 12 and 15 and 9, and I've heard several different numbers. But I think different people are counting different noses. Some of the work that the policy committee has to do will give us a final number.